We know how to save energy in our homes, but do we know how to save energy in our lives? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of The Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find me online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be talking about energy. Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So today I am talking about energy, energy conservation, but what's funny is most of the time when I say energy conservation, everybody's mind goes to things like, oh, I have to get more efficient light bulbs, like, you know, the cool LED bulbs, or maybe I need to have my windows checked for air leaks, or maybe I need to make sure that I have an energy efficient refrigerator. So when I say energy conservation or energy efficiency, we know how to do that in our homes. We can look at the list of the top 10 things that you can do to make sure your PG&E bill, or if you're not on the Pacific Coast, your energy bill, wherever you live. Turn off lights when you leave a room. Make sure you set your thermostat on a timer so that when you're not at home, you're not worried about climate controlling your home. We are very aware of how to manage or conserve or be more efficient with the energy in our home. But I'm wondering if we have taken those same principles when we are considering our own energy. So energy is one of those things that it's very much like how I wrap my head around it. It's very much like a bank account. There's money that goes in, and then there's money that comes out. You have a paycheck, that money goes in. You have to pay your car payment, that money comes out. And the idea at the end of the month or the end of the day or the end of the week is that you have a balanced budget, that you have X amount of dollars that goes into your bank account, X amount of dollars that comes out of your bank account. In a perfect world, you've got money left over for savings at the end of every week so that you can build up your reserves. You can build up your savings. You can build up your extra. Susie Orman calls it a float account, right? And if you do this a little bit all the time, you build your float account, you build your nest egg, you build your, savings for a rainy day. And, that is balancing your budget. You're looking, okay, money in, money out, balanced budget. You want to make sure that your outgo is not higher than your income, okay? Well, if we know that to be true with money, everything has an in and an out. You know, food goes in, food comes out. Water comes in, water goes out. Like, that is just the natural cycle of everything. What goes up must come down. Like, everything has this balance, this flow. And if you think of your energy reserves very much like your budget, there are things that we can do to balance our energy, to balance our energetic flow. Okay, so I think we are all on the same page when I'm talking about energy conservation or energy efficiency. I'm talking about the energy that we have in our body that wakes us up in the morning, gives us enough chutzpah to go and enjoy our day. There are things that we do that give us energy. Food gives us energy. Calories are units of energy. When you eat, you have energy to go and do something. If you don't eat, your energy will decrease. Don't eat for a week? Oh my goodness, right? If you think about sleep is charging the battery. That is a very necessary thing that all human beings need. If you try to go too long without sleep, you're going to notice a huge impact on your energy flow, your energy charge. So there are things that we do in our life that will put energy into the system, and then there's things that we do in our life that drain our energy. One thing that I have noticed, just to put a timestamp on this, because I never know who's listening, from where they're listening, or when they might be listening. So somebody might be listening to this podcast for the first time in 2025, and they are not necessarily sure why I'm saying what I'm saying. So I'm going to put a little time stamp on this. It is June 23rd. And we have been in a COVID. It's a worldwide thing, not just a United States thing. So if I say COVID, everybody in the world is going to know what I'm talking about. We are about, I guess, 3-4 months into our COVID event. And here where I live, we are definitely starting to open up again, coming on the other side of this. But one thing that I have noticed in the last 4 months, for sure, my clients, there's a vast majority that are making shifts in some way, shape, or form. One of the things that I keep hearing when I do my meditations is what was once a splinter is now a log and it will not be ignored. I'll say that again. What was once a splinter is now a log and it will not be ignored. People are having to deal with things that maybe they have been able to sweep under the rug for a long, long time. And for some people, they're very, very pleasant changes. For some people, it's very uncomfortable changes. Some people really don't feel much of a shift at all or much of an impact from this whole COVID event whatsoever. But one thing that I am noticing for the folks who are uncomfortable or in the middle of, they know it's the right thing to do, but it's still difficult, is there's a lot of people making big changes in their behaviors. There's a lot of people making big changes in the in their decisions, in their choices, for sure. And I do notice there's a consistency across simplification, right? So some people are clearing out their basement. Some people are clearing out the attic. Some people are cleaning out the garage. Some people are cleaning out their cars. Some people are cleaning out their drawers, right? It can be as small as cleaning out your closet, and it can be as noticeably large as cleaning the clutter of your life. So there's a lot to be said for a lot of times when we get on our hamster wheel of life, we tend to just kind of add to. Okay, well, we're going to add to. We're going to add another bill into our monthly budget because we really want to buy this thing. Okay, so now we have this thing. Maybe it's a boat or an RV, or maybe it's a car, or maybe it's a timeshare. We're going to buy this thing, and then we're going to have this extra thing that we're going to have to dust and clean and wash and pay for. And if it fits within your budget and within your life, it's wonderful. But what a lot of people are doing is they are asking themselves this very big question. Is this thing adding to or taking away from my enjoyment? If it is adding to my enjoyment, and it's, even though it is an extra responsibility or an extra payment, it is well within the means that makes you feel comfortable, and that's wonderful. But there's a lot of people who are starting to simplify. They're simplifying their commute. They're saying, hey, guess what? COVID taught me I can work from home, and I'm going to be working from home 2 days a week now. Even when COVID is over, I'm going to be working 2 days a week from home now. Okay? They are taking a little bit of their time back. They're taking a little bit of their commute down. They're making decisions to simplify their life. Or somebody might say, you know what? I've decided to sell this thing that I bought 2 years ago. It's not bringing me as much joy as it is hassle or headache. So people are selling their boats or RVs or timeshares or whatnot to somebody who is looking for those things, right? One person decides they don't want it. Somebody else decides they do. It's a win-win situation. One person sells it to another. That's great. People are cleaning out their closets and giving their closets to the Salvation Army. That's a win-win situation. So a lot of times, if you think of every action that you take uses energy, and every action that you don't take frees that energy up, right? If you're not on the road 2 hours a day commuting, you just not only got those hours back, you got that energy back. more and more people are starting to look at what can I remove from my overcomplicated life to make it more simple, to make it more enjoyable, and to therefore free up our energy. It is a very real conversation that I am seeing taking place over and over and over. This idea of energy efficiency, if you will. Getting back to our original conversation about energy efficiency in your home. Taking an old light bulb that just sucks energy and replacing it with an energy efficient light bulb. You make a choice. You swapped something out. And now your electric bill is going to be a teeny bit lower. And it's also a compound thing. If you change one light bulb to 10 light bulbs, and then if you all of a sudden, you know, start turning off the lights in your home, not only is your electricity bill going to go down, you're also being kinder to the environment, right? It has this beautiful domino ripple effect. So if I were to say to you, and you probably have already thought this as I'm talking, where can I simplify? Where can I add more energy back into my life? One thing that we all know, if I, you know, 98% of all Americans have a smartphone. And what happens if you see somebody realize that their smartphone has 5% battery life left? You will watch that person scramble to find a phone charger. You will watch that person scramble to find an outlet. You will watch that person go, hold everything. I need to charge my phone. But what I wonder is, do they have the same sense of urgency when their battery is low? Do they have the same sense of urgency when they feel drained or run down or when their battery is at 5%? Or do they just wait until they crash, until they're absolutely wiped out, right? Then they have to reboot, you know, tap out and they're done. So if we were to say, what would happen if I had as much sense of urgency when my battery is drained down to 5 or 10% as I do with my phone? What would that look like? Well, that would be a beautiful thing, first of all. One thing that I would ask is, if you use your cell phone very little, maybe you use it a handful of times a day and you're not sitting there with big, huge, energy-draining apps always running in the background, your battery life is going to last a lot longer. But if you have 25 apps open on your phone at all times, all running in the background, you're going to need to recharge your phone several times a day. So my first question for everybody here is, what are the big energy-sucking apps that you have on your phone? What are the big energy draining things that you have in your life? Now, some people, they would say, oh, that's work through and through. And then other people would say, no, energy, my work doesn't drain my energy. My work makes me excited. It's very passionate. I love what I do. Okay. So not everybody's job is going to be a drain. Some people's jobs are going to be an addition because they love it. They can't not do it. Okay. Or maybe it is the commute. Maybe for some people, the biggest energy drain thing that they've got going on is they have this great, big, huge, unfinished project that is taking a little bit of worry every single day. Maybe it's back taxes. Maybe you've got this whole back tax thing and you know you've got to finish it. And maybe it's 3 years old, and maybe you've been putting it off, and maybe you've been procrastinating it, maybe you've been kicking the can down the road, and maybe it's time to say, look, I have got to get this project done. I've got to make the appointment with the accountant. I've got to figure out what the amount is, and then I've got to get on a payment plan, and then I can say it's done. It's not this thing that's hanging over my head that I have been, you know, sweeping under the rug for all this time, because I'm telling you what happens is unfinished projects, especially if there's worry attached to it, it's like having an app open on the background all the time. It's like having an app running on your phone all the time, just slowly draining your energy. So if there are big projects that are unfinished, wrap them up. That's one thing that you can do right now to help your energy reserves. If there's clutter everywhere and you're feeling like, gosh, every time I come home, instead of my home feeling like a sanctuary, it just feels like, ugh, I've got to take care of that pile of stuff. I got to take care of that pile of stuff. Do things to take care of the clutter in your home so that when you come home or when you are home, it feels like a sanctuary. If there's toys all over the floor and there's everywhere you look, it just feels like a constant, it just feels like a constant to-do list or a chore list, then, you know, find a way of managing that. Some people don't mind living with toys all over the floor. Some people, to them, that feels like home. It doesn't bother them in the least. It actually makes them feel good. For them, it makes them feel like the house is lived in and a family lives here and enjoys the space. So it's not that all clutter is bad. It's only if it doesn't work for you. If walking into a messy kitchen drives you insane, then that's different than walking into a messy kitchen and having it have no impact on you whatsoever. That's where you have to know who you are, know thyself. Okay, so for you, clutter may or may not be a thing in your house. Clutter might make you feel really joyful. Like, yes, a family lives here and I don't care. I don't live in a pristine model home and it doesn't have to look like a pristine model home. Everyone's going to be different, okay? But you need to know you. If you've got this thing hanging over your head, maybe you're a student, maybe you've got a book report that's due and you just keep kicking that can down the road and you're going to wait and do it at the last minute and procrastinate. Well, guess what? Typically, for a lot of people, that would be an energy drain. It's this thing in the back of your head, in the back of your mind that is constantly gnawing at you. So a lot of times, for a lot of people, and like I said, there's no always, and never. So this might apply to you or it might not. But for a lot of people, creating a good life, creating an exciting life has more to do with what you remove from it rather than what you add to it. So removing old projects, getting those buttoned up, removing all those things that you've been putting off. I got to get to that. Find a time to get to it. Because what we're looking to do is free up energy resources. What we're looking to do is not have so many apps running in the background all the time that you feel exhausted because your battery is getting drained. So if we can take some of those apps that are running in the background all the time and wrap them up one by one, that's going to be one thing that's going to help us a lot. But then there's things that we can do to help improve the energy coming in, right? It's the difference between eating food that gives us energy and eating food that doesn't feel good. It's the difference between having a donut breakfast, lunch, and dinner to having a donut once in a while as a treat, right? So energy, if you eat, you know, food that helps to boost your energy and helps you keep a nice level of consistent energy. And again, everyone's going to be different. There's no one size fits all for food either. Some people are going to do better with certain types of foods than others. Know thyself. But if we can look at our lives and say, all right, how do I maximize my energy? If I am a cell phone, and I want to make sure that I have enough energy to last me throughout the day while occasionally plugging myself into the wall for a midday recharge, what does that look like for me? There are people who will take naps. It's a part of their normal routine. Culturally, it is not a very American thing to do. But in Spain, goodness. I actually looked this up. The tradition of napping dates back thousands of years, with modern-day siestas originating in Spain. The name comes from the Latin hora sexta, which means the sixth hour. Since the hours of the day begin at dawn, the sixth hour is noon, which is when siestas often start. So if we look at, there's whole cultures who basically say, halfway through the day, I'm going to plug my phone in and give it a nice little midday charge. Halfway through the day, there are cultures all over the world some of them will use their siestas to nap. Some of them will use their siestas for a leisurely lunch. Some of them will just kind of say, hey, it's the hottest part of the day and I don't want to be out during the hottest part of the day. I want to be in and chilled out for the hottest part of the day. So maybe it's time to, if you're self-employed, maybe you're a hairdresser, maybe you're a, my husband's a dog trainer. One thing that COVID has done for him is he's decided I can rearrange my day in a way where I am maximizing my energy instead of driving all over town, all over the place, not being at the right place when lunchtime hits and therefore not being able to be home and eating lunch. And then I'm just at the whim of wherever might be available and open for lunch, right? So one of the things that my husband has done as a self-employed dog trainer is he's really taken charge of his day. And he says, in order to maximize my energy, in order to maximize my time, this is how I'm going to arrange my day. And he does a really good job of sticking to it. There's always going to be the outliers where you need to make adjustments or arrangements. But for the most part, he's keeping a really good schedule. So there's other things that you can do to make sure that you are getting, you know, choose what you're eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's certain things that I love for breakfast, but I know that if I have them, I am toast. I love biscuits and gravy, but if I have biscuits and gravy for breakfast on a Tuesday, I'm not going to have the energy that I need. So I have biscuits and gravy maybe 6 times a year, and it's going to be on a Sunday when I don't need to do anything, because that's not going to feed me the energy that I need to get through a very busy day at work. Okay. Closing apps on your phone. What can I do to say this is an energy drain? I need to close this app. I need to take care of this project. I need to clean that drawer. I need to do things to close these apps so you can recharge during the day. You can make sure that the energy coming in is good energy. Closing apps on the phone, that might be having a hard conversation that is long overdue and you've been avoiding it and it's been on your mind and it's sort of there always nagging at you in the back of the mind, in the back of your head constantly. That's a battery drain. That's a drain. Do you need to have that hard conversation to finally put it to bed, to maybe make peace with it, to maybe, I don't know. Again, you know your circumstances better than anybody. But if there's something that's really bothering you, you're like, honey, guess what? I've got to have this conversation right now. We need to take care of this. There's a lot of people having very frank conversations with their spouses right now in the middle of COVID, all over the place. It's actually wonderful, in my opinion, because people are reaching a point where they just can't not say it. Like, it has to be said. What was once a splinter is now a log, and it will no longer be ignored. So what do you do when spouse number one disagrees with spouse number two on how they want to spend their savings? Spouse number one wants to spend $10,000 and go on a trip, and spouse number two says, no, I'd rather remodel the bathroom. Okay. Well, guess what? Have the conversation. Don't keep sweeping it under the rug or waiting for the other person to just decide to pull the trigger and then you're left out in the cold going, wait, did we decide on that? I didn't think we decided on that. Or maybe person A wants to save it and person B wants to spend it. These are all things. These are all the things that are bubbling to the surface. Maybe spouse A wants to get a third dog and spouse B says, no way we can have a third dog right now. We just need, the two we have are plenty. We can barely walk them and feed them and train them and do all of the things that we can as of right now. So why would we add another thing to the mix right now? Why would we add one more thing? Where, if you go down the street, in a similar situation, but a whole different family in a whole different time of life, they might say, now is the perfect time to get that third animal. Let's do it. But again, being on the same page, make sure that you are aware of how that's going to impact your budget, because dogs aren't free and they take a lot of time and energy, right? It's being very clear. If there's a finite amount of time in any day, 24 hours, as much as you might want to pretend that there's 26 and shove and cram as much stuff as you can into a day, there's only 24 hours in a day. And unless you are one of the very, 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 very 1% top wealthy people, there's a finite amount of money in your bank account in this moment. That doesn't mean that there can't be more tomorrow and that you can't attract and make and earn and create and find or discover more money. But today, there's a finite amount in your bank account right now. You could go and look and get that amount to the penny. Well, we also need to realize that energy is one of those resources that we can always do things to put more energy in, or have more energy conservation habits so that we're taking less out. But at the end of the day, you will run out of energy at some point. You will need to stop and sleep. So, you know, they call it crashing, right? Your energy needs to be replenished every day, every day. So if you can look again, just to review, things that you can take out of your life, apps that you can close, projects you can wrap up, making decisions that put better energy into the system, more sleep, more naps, more downtime, less commitments, right? Some people overcommit themselves like crazy and then they can't follow through with those commitments because they don't have enough energy when the day actually shows up, okay? If we start looking at our energy system like a budget, energy in, energy out, we will start making different decisions. But I can't have an energy conversation without leaving you all with this one idea. So I'm a Reiki master teacher. I teach Reiki. I do Reiki energy sessions on people. It's probably 80% of everything that I do, even if it winds up just sort of, even if I'm doing hypnotherapy, I will typically always build in a little bit of energy work even into a hypnotherapy session. Even if I'm coaching someone through meditation, energy work is always running in the background to really kind of enhance and improve the experience for my client. I teach Reiki certification classes, and it's a very big, big part of who I am and what I do. So for me, there are things that we can all do to really boost our energy. Acupuncture is energy medicine. Getting an acupuncture treatment is wonderful for improving the flow of energy. There are people who will practice Qigong or Tai Chi. Okay, those are practices, physical. Some people might put them under the umbrella of exercise. Some people wouldn't. They'd say it's more of a spiritual moving meditation. Okay, but however you have to wrap your head around it, those are practices involving increasing and improving the flow of your energy. Acupressure, acupuncture, Reiki happens to be a Japanese style for stress reduction, energy work. This is all under the umbrella of energy. Some people call it energy medicine. Some people call it energy work. Some people call it energy practice. For me, it's all the same, which is we can change our behaviors. We can do very practical things in our lives to improve the balance of energy. Energy out, energy in. Energy out, energy in. Making sure that we have the energy that we need to live our lives. But then there's this whole other thing that we can do to improve the balance and the flow of our own energy system. Because as individuals, we are electrical beings. We are energetic beings. All you have to do is shuffle your bare feet on the carpet and touch someone and you're going to feel a zap, because that is, you know, it's an exchange of energy. You can wake up in the morning and have wonderful energy and feel like you can conquer the world. And other days you're like, I just feel like I could sleep all day. Okay, but that is our energy system either being fully charged, not fully charged, fully flowing, not fully flowing. So there are things that you, anybody who's listening to this podcast, there are things that you can do to increase, improve your energy efficiency. I highly recommend all of the ones that I just talked about. Qigong, Tai Chi, acupuncture, acupressure. For me, Reiki, R-E-I-K-I. I do it all the time. My clients, what I have noticed is through this whole COVID event, they tell me very, very, very emphatically, I don't know how I would have gotten through COVID without this tool. I don't know how I would have gotten through this very heavy, heavy, energy-sucking, energy-draining for many families event without this tool. I am doing a lot of energy work right now, meaning in times like this, my books get busier, not lighter. So one thing that I am having to do is make sure that I am taking very good care of myself, self-care. So I am running energy on myself constantly, making sure I get enough sleep, making sure I'm putting the right kind of food in my body, making sure that I'm not overcommitting or saying too much, committing to too much right now. Not that I have many options to overcommit right now. With COVID, there's not a lot to do. I'm closing my apps. I'm finishing projects. One of the biggest things that I just wrapped up was I've had a book that's been in the works for 5 years. The name of the book is Lessons from the Zen Room. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble. You can buy it in the store on my website. But that's been something that has been lingering, and it took me quite a while to wrap it up just because I was trying to squeeze it in here and there. But I finished it. That was a great big period at the end of a very long sentence. That was a project that was a joy to wrap up. It was wonderful to say, I finished this. It's been great. One of the reasons why my podcasts haven't been as frequent and regular is because it's an energy consumer. I had to set aside a couple of hours to research this podcast. I actually had to set aside some time to actually record it. And then, that's a bill on my energy budget, debit account, whatnot. But what it will give to the world will be an energy deposit. So I had to find the time to do it. It couldn't be one of those things that I said, I'm going to do it come hell or high water because I'm running out of energy. If I'm working on 2-3 additional people every day, I'm running out of time and energy. So for me, if you were to listen back to one of the original podcasts, I don't say that every Tuesday at 10 o'clock you're going to find a new podcast. I couldn't commit to that because it would have been then something that I felt obligated to do. And I knew that I didn't have the resources to pull that off. So I've always been when I got something to say, I'll do a podcast kind of gal. And that works for me. It may not work for other podcasters, and I totally get it. So maybe take a couple of lessons from me that I've shared with you today. Simplify. Close some of those apps that have been running in the background for a long, long time. Clear the clutter. Anything that you can do to put more energy in reserves, do it. I've been telling a lot of people, Reiki 1 certification is a wonderful way to, and I'll do a whole podcast on this down the road, but getting certified in Reiki 1 is a wonderful addition for people because they can learn how to run energy in very troubling times, and that is a wonderful energy deposit into the system. But for now, my ask of all of you, use self-care as much as you can. Take care of yourself. Plug yourself in, not just your cell phone. Close apps that are draining your battery. Take care of business. You're the only one in the world who can manage your energy. I'm going to say that again. You are the only one in the world who can manage your energy. You can outsource your budget to a finance guy. You can outsource your projects, a lot of things, to other people, other experts. But when it comes to your energy, you are the only one who can take your nap. You are the only one who can close some of those apps. You are the only one who can run energy on yourselves. You are the only one who can do it. So please, 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 please take this to heart. Use what works. And I look forward to seeing a more energized and energetically balanced listener in the future. But for now, may the force be with you. Take good care of yourself. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Take care now.